Today on Real Radio.
I believe God heightens your lostness to get you to that point of deep repentance. Oh God, forgive me of my sins. Oh God, I want to know you.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Who Told You That You Are Going to Heaven, Part 2, continues a new series called Who Told You? A lot of what we believe can be based on our personal feelings and past experiences, but how do these beliefs stack up to Scripture? This series will help us discern the voices and opinions of our day from the truth of God's Word. The Bible tells us that what we believe matters. We can't go to heaven by following popular preachings or through religious repetitions. God is an individual Savior. Those of us who have received the true gospel message will not be deceived by the signs and wonders of the day. What is the true gospel? Well, that no one comes to God except through His Son, Jesus Christ, and the price that He paid on the cross for our personal salvation. Today, on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that the first step toward salvation is to get alone with ourselves and be quiet before God. Only then can the deep personal stirrings of the Holy Spirit awaken our need for a Savior. And now, continuing in his lesson called Who Told You That You Are Going to Heaven, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Isaiah 45, verse 22 makes it so precious, so simple. Look to me and be saved, God says. Look to me and be saved. Anybody can look. Look to him and be saved. So I look in the mirror and I see what I truly am. And the next utterance out of my mouth ought to be, God, save me. Lord, I'm calling out to you, save me. Transform my life. Make me different. Take the power of this salvation and apply it to my life. Make me new. That's a deep, personal, I believe, stirring of your heart when that begins to happen. Church, listen to this. You can look into the mirror like James warns, and you could just absolutely care less and go and live your phony life and doctor it up with all kinds of stuff and live a lie to the end and die your death, never having been connected to reality or God. The Bible calls that deceiving yourself. Then we can choose to look at that mirror, let God speak to us. And from that moment on, there's a work that begins, the step of salvation, where you begin to say, Lord, help me now. And listen to what happens. This is very encouraging. In John 6, 44, Jesus talks about that. John 6, 44, Jesus says, no one can come to me, listen, unless the Father who sent me, what's the word? Draws him. The word draw here is a very violent Greek word. It means this. By the way, it's found in John 21, verse 6. It's where the disciples had a net so full of fish that they had to jerk it violently up out of the sea to get it into the boat or to get it to the shore. It was so heavy that they had to violently pull. Wow, think about that for a moment. No one can come to me unless the Father violently pulls them to me. Does that come for you? I like that. That same word is found in Acts chapter 16, verse 19. Paul and Silas are preaching the gospel. They get in trouble. And the Bible tells us that they were violently dragged into the marketplace and held for questioning. The Holy Spirit is desiring. Jesus says, you can't come to me unless the Father has laid hold of you and he's pulling you. And it all begins with the stirring of the heart and of the mind in your life. Thinking. So I ask you this question. Is God stirring your heart? Do spiritual things matter in your life? Are you getting now concerned about the fact that you've not lived a perfect life? That you have had an evil thought, selfish thought, lustful thought, that there's been, the world would say, inconsistencies in your life. No, God calls those sins. Jesus said, if you looked at a woman and lusted after her in your heart, you've committed adultery. And that goes both ways. We're guilty. The Bible says we're guilty. And when you hear that, what do you do? What's your response? Now watch, church. When people hear such things, they go like this. Well, who does he think he is? I understand that. There's people who are saying things in their mind like, I don't care. There's people in their mind saying, who told him what I was doing yesterday? You see, there's people in this room thinking, you know what? I need to hear more of this. In this room, there's all kinds of flavors of what's going on in the mind. And Jesus said, only those whom my Father is drawing to me will come to me. If you're not hearing the Spirit speaking to you, this has nothing to do with me, has nothing to do with the person next to you. If you cannot hear the Holy Spirit stirring you up, he's asking you, he's wooing you. It's the old English word to woo, or where we get the word courtship. The Holy Spirit is saying, wake up, wake up. If you can't hear him, it's not that he doesn't want to save you. God knows, God has known through all time and eternity, before you were ever born, that you were of an attitude, you were of a person who would never turn toward him. It's not his decision, it's yours. I don't want him, you would say. I don't want God in my life. But there are those today that you may be thinking, I need Christ. Jesus is saying to you this morning, my Father is wooing you. The Spirit of God is stirring you up. I hope that's happening to you today. Happened to 5 people at first service. I hope it's happening to you. John chapter 6, verse 65. John 6, 65. Jesus said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. When the word of God goes out, this is what's fun about the Bible. When the word of God goes out, Jesus said in John's gospel, that my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. The voice of God today is the word of God. And when it goes out, sheep respond. Those that are coming to Christ respond. That's why decisions are made. Some yes, some no, but decisions are always made. Again, John 14, 17. Jesus said, the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. The Holy Spirit. They can't receive him because they don't want him. Because it neither sees him nor knows him, the world. But you know him, speaking to the believers, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Isn't that an awesome statement? Today, you're either a Christian or not, or you're somebody today in the middle and you're thinking. And the first awakenings of the hope of salvation in your life is for you coming to that place of looking in the mirror and understanding, I need Christ. Everyone who encountered Christ, isn't it amazing in the Bible? Everyone who encountered Christ either had their profound awareness they needed him or they rejected him. It was one or the other. Wherever Jesus went, listen, we may not have liked it if Jesus walked in here and preached his message. It would have been right down the middle, black and white, crystal clear, left or right. Life or death, boom. He never left things undone. You had people rejoicing, and you had people picking up stones wanting to kill him. Truth does that. In Ephesians chapter 1, I love this next verse, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. This is absolutely awesome. I hope it means the same to you. It says that in him, that is Christ, you also trusted. Do you trust Jesus, friends? Do you trust Christ for your salvation? You came in here today, right? You sat down, like the story you've heard 1,000 times. You never thought about sitting down on the chair. You sat down on it and it held you, and you expected it to, and you never even thought about it. Trust, that's the word trust. The Bible here is saying, you believers who trust Christ, you've given everything over to him. Life, death, everything in between, it's all given over to him. In whom you've trusted after you've heard the word of the truth. What's that, the word of truth? The gospel of your, what is it? Salvation. In whom also you have believed, You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of, what's that word? Promise. I love that. The Holy Spirit of promise. Promise, I don't know. Promise is a powerful word because promise says it's going to happen. Now, we as humans will make promises, and we don't honestly have any power to pull it off exactly. We really don't. We don't have that kind of power because we don't even know if we're going to be alive the next minute, but we make promises. In fact, you know, when you're doing a wedding, they exchange vows. And what's the one of the lines near the end? Until death do us part. Because listen, those promises can be broken by death. But they're promises. Isn't it awesome that God is making and has made and shall keep his promise to you? That you who trust in Christ, you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. What is that? He has violently grabbed you. And he has pulled you out of the world. That's salvation. You just didn't come forward at a service or raise your hand or sign up and that's salvation. And well, now I guess that's it. No, no, no. That's the first step. You're saved. Now listen, salvation takes a second, less than a second. It's the responding to the message that God is talking to you in your heart about. Happens in a second. And if God, listen, if God were to allow you to live 1 hour longer after your moment of conversion, what does that mean? It doesn't mean, are you listening? It doesn't mean you're more saved an hour later. If you accept Christ today and you live till next week, it doesn't mean that you're more saved next week than you were today that you accepted Christ. The moment you call out to him, you're saved. But what it means is by God's grace, you are allowed a day or two or three or a lifetime to share, to expand, to build upon your salvation already. It is to let others know. It is to affect others. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has sealed you until the day of redemption. He saves you and then he puts you to work in the kingdom of God. We talked about that last time. It's active. But he has pulled you. I'm comforted by the fact that God the Holy Spirit is speaking to, I pray, to some of you, and he just really won't let go of you. This weekend, Lisa and I don't even know how we did it, but we stumbled across Keith Green. There's a lot of Keith Green. You know who Keith Green is? Longtime worship guy. He's now in heaven for a long time, but his music's great, and we just stumbled on to him on YouTube, so we're watching old concerts, and some of those concerts Lisa and I were at, a lot of them are at Calvary Costa Mesa. They're on YouTube. You can watch them. And we're remembering the day, and we're listening to the songs and listening to the music, and then we're singing the songs, and we're just reminiscing, and it's like, oh, remember this, and oh, these songs, and they're so powerful. And then from there, we went to the songs, and we clicked on something. There was a documentary done about his life. And it was precious because he was always searching. Had everything at his fingertips. At the age of 11, he signed a 5-year contract with Decca Records. By the time he was 11, he had 40 songs written. He was on his way. Hollywood considered him to be the next teen idol, Keith Green. He was never happy. He was always upset. And his friends told him, his parents were saying, he was always searching. And he went into drugs because he was searching. He didn't want to become a drug addict. He said, if nobody else has the answer, then maybe drugs is the answer. I'm searching. And he had such a horrible trip one time that it scared him to death. And that terrible drug trip led him to a Bible study in Hollywood. And he heard the gospel and he gave his heart to Christ and he got so excited. He went around and his friend said he went overboard. He just began to grab people and say, you need Christ, you need to accept Jesus now. You don't do that kind of zeal physically, but he had the passion. He had experienced absolute transformation and he wanted other people to have it. He shared something. He got alone and he looked in that mirror. And with all of his young fame and the route that was plotted for him and all that was going on, he was empty. It sounds like Keith Green was looking in the mirror a lot in his life. The second thing is this. What's the step towards salvation would be that it's getting alone with yourself. Now, this is getting worse if you think about it. You look in the mirror, but you can run away from the mirror. But friends, listen, you know, there are so many people today living life, they'll do anything and everything possible to not be alone. And listen, the step toward the gospel is to get alone. To get alone with yourself. What does that mean? Well, I think it means the things that happen when a man decides to come to Christ. When a man begins to decide this gospel and the response to the gospel, and I need Jesus, the next step is to get alone. A lot of life crises will be used by God to help you get alone, to think. And to get alone with yourself is an unnerving thing. Our busyness that we have in our lives that we nurture, we want to avoid being alone, we want to avoid the quiet, but we need to get alone. It's interesting, it's been said that deception isn't always painted black or wearing a mask. It can manifest itself as, listen, Christian busyness about spiritual things, church endeavors. We can avoid being alone by being involved in everything, getting involved in outreaches, signing up for every situation or every event. We can do that as believers. Avoiding alone time with God. Maybe you're a person here today and you've avoided getting alone with God. To literally say, God, if you're out there or not, I heard that you're real. I don't know, but I'm going to sit down and I'm going to get alone with you. Talk to me, God. We can even be believers. We're so busy in ministry stuff, so busy doing our Christian duty that we can easily avoid getting alone with God. He wants to look deep inside of our hearts. He knows everything about us, but our busyness, we can cover those things up. And God says, get alone with me. Sometimes we get alone. Isn't this weird? Think about it. Sometimes we get alone and stay alone from God by going to church. We can be in church and we can be hiding from God. There's no place to hide. Have you noticed? There's no place to hide when you're seeking to avoid God. There's no place to hide. He's everywhere. You think, oh, I'm gonna check out this pressure, this tension. Listen, friend. This pressure, this burden you've been carrying about getting to know God, that's been God stirring you up. And maybe some of you, it's reached a point where it's crushing you. What does that mean? That means God is really close to you and it's about ready for you. Time now to come to Him. There's such a weight on you. And you can't get God out of your mind. You're like Christian in Pilgrim's Progress. The weight is on you and you're thinking about God all the time, but you're not a Christian. You've never brought yourself to that point of getting alone with God to the moment where you say, God, that's it. I'm yours. But God would want you to do that today. What happens when that begins to take place? Church, listen. I believe that by getting alone with God, you'll be convicted of sin. You'll be convicted of your person, the who you are in the mirror. Now you're alone with God. And this is the beautiful thing. This is the storm before the calm, that rage of your soul and of your mind and that chagrin that's going on in your life, God heightens your lostness to get you to that point of deep repentance. Oh, God, forgive me of my sins. Oh, God, I want to know you. I have failed, God. And don't be surprised, friends. Listen, if you're praying for someone's salvation, maybe it's a husband or a wife or a mom or a dad or a child, friend, neighbor, coworker, and you're praying for their salvation. Have you noticed? You might say, well, gosh, Pastor, ever since I've been praying for them, they've gotten more ornery. They've gotten more disgusting to be around. I can't stand it. They were okay before, but since I've been praying, now I hate them. Have you ever noticed that in life? That's because your prayers are spiritual, and their lost condition is going up against the kingdom of darkness. Every time you pray for their soul, you're launching a bomb into hell's kitchen, as it were. Every time you intercede for your friend's salvation, you're launching a barrage of attack against the forces of darkness that's blinding your mom and dad or your school teacher that you're praying for or your students. And you've entered into a warfare. And it's awesome. I mean, I hope you're like this. If your Christianity is so calm and so easygoing, oh, I hope God sends you some tremendous battle. I really do mean it. I'm not kidding. I get nervous. If things seem too good for about 3 days, it's too quiet. No, really, something's wrong. You know what I'm saying? with all that's going on in life and all of the issues of life and all of the trauma, believe me, it's not calm. Heaven will be calm. We're not there yet. When we get alone with God, He tells us secrets. When we get alone with God, He reveals things to us. When we get alone with God, He tells us the truth. Isaiah got alone with God. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, he says, in the year that King Uzziah died, that's awesome because King Uzziah and Isaiah, they were inseparable. The king dies, now Isaiah's alone. What's his next word out of his mouth? I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and his glory and his robe filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphim, each having six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they did fly. And one cried to another, and they said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door, he's talking about heaven, what's going on? The post or the pillars of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. That's another word for glory. Verse 5 goes on and says, Isaiah speaks. Look at his reaction. Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. Verse 5 goes on. Because why, Isaiah, we would say, why? What happened? My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I saw God. And all of a sudden, I was reduced to ashes. Getting alone with God will do that. Honestly, I mean this. We are all in this together. We are all humans. And those of us who trust Christ, remember, we're sinners saved by His grace. Yes, the Spirit is at work within us. We're not sinless. We'll never be sinless until we drop dead. Okay? But we're not the people we used to be. If any of us see each other strutting around town, puffed up and proud, we need to gently, lovingly pull one another over and say, hey, listen, remember what Isaiah saw? Isaiah saw the Lord and he confessed, I'm a man of unclean lips. What's my point? You should never see a proud Christian. Oh, you can be a Christian and be backslidden in your pride, but you can't be a proud Christ follower. Was Jesus ever proud?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio, in a message called, Who Told You That You're Going to Heaven, Part 2. Thanks for listening, and our hope is that as you follow Christ, there's a continual transformation towards His likeness in your life. Who Told You That You're Going to Heaven, Part 2 is part of Pastor Jack's series called, Who Told You? It's a series that gives us the truth about heaven and salvation. Today was day 2 of this lesson, and don't forget that you can pick up any of these days you might have missed at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, did you know that Pastor Jack has a recommended book of the month every month? Specially selected books handpicked by Pastor Jack. And this month's book of the month is called Russia Rising, Tracking the Bear in Bible Prophecy. It's written by Mark Hitchcock. Russia, again, is on the move. Of course, the news headlines proclaim it. Georgia was first, then Ukraine and the invasion of Crimea, and of course, meddling in the U.S. elections followed. For the fourth straight year, Forbes has ranked Vladimir Putin as the world's most powerful person, even above the President of the United States. Now, like it or not, the world has descended into a new Putin-led Cold War 2.0. As the storm clouds gather, America sleeps. Russia has a hand in Syria, and its closer ties to Iran are especially alarming to those who know Bible prophecy and the book of Ezekiel especially. Putin is poised right now on the northern border of Israel, an ominous sign of our times. Be sure to pick up Russia Rising, Tracking the Bear in Bible Prophecy. It's by Mark Hitchcock, and you'll find it at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.